Hello. Welcome to Gentlemen Don't Get Caught, a podcast about the music of R.E.M. I'm Lynn, with my friends.
Ali. Greetings.
We're here to talk about the final track on New Adventures in Hi-Fi, Electrolytes.
Correct. Which is something you might need if you're dehydrated. Because continuity, Lynn. Because continuity.
It's continuity. What else are electrolytes? Things in batteries or whatever that charge can pass through?
Yeah. Do you need to use them if you're either like separating aluminium out from...
Oh, you're talking about electrolysis?
That's what I... Yes. It's a long time since I did any science, Lynn. It's over half my lifetime ago.
But yes, that is how you electrolysis, how you refine aluminium.
Okay.
It's why it used to be very expensive. Something about Napoleon's cutlery.
Wow, did he have aluminium cutlery?
Apparently had aluminium cutlery because at the time it was more expensive than gold because it was so hard to refine with the technology of the very early 1800s.
So he had this very lightweight, very kind of like unimpressive feeling, unweighty cutlery. It's just but it's expensive though.
It was really expensive at the time, and it wasn't really until, you know, much later in the 1800s into the 1900s where, you know, kind of like mass power generation and the electrification enabled aluminium to be produced cheaply.
I'm trying to remember like what Lenin's revolutionary slogan was, something like communism equals Soviet power and the electrification of the whole country.
Very catchy.
Yeah, I know. Stick that on your poster.
Maybe it was a cool acronym.
Possibly.
But yeah, electrification was pretty cool, I guess.
Well, you know, upsides and downsides.
Quite.
Fossil fuels.
They're installing fiber down our street at the moment. So in addition to there being a lot of places you can't walk on the footpath, which is annoying, and a lot of terrible noises, they've also been obviously filling in all of the gaps down the entire street that they have dug up to put fiber down. And they've just filled it with tarmac that is a completely different colour and texture to the rest of the pavement. It looks pretty terrible. Just in case you're listening.
The cost of progress.
The cost of progress. It's fine. You know, it'll all wear down and well away, and then we'll have faster broadband, so we'll just sit in our houses more, even more somehow, and then we won't care that the pavement looks bad.
That's the outside world. No one cares about that anymore.
No one cares anymore because we've got slightly faster broadband. Anyway, what are we talking about?
We're talking about electrolyte.
We're 3 minutes in and have not said anything. What have I got on my notes? I would say that this sounds very like a final track. Appropriately final.
Appropriately ending.
Partly I say that because it sounds a bit like a bonus track. I should point out I quite like the song, but it just tonally doesn't really kind of fit. It feels like a sort of bonus track to me.
Okay.
Like the thing you've put on there that doesn't really match.
It's interesting.
Totally, particularly with Rest, necessarily with Rest album.
And yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting you say that, because I would not
it's a bit
say
jauntier.
This. Yes, it's certainly jauntier than the album.
It sounds a little bit Belle and Sebastian somehow.
Huh.
Musically, I don't think Michael Stipe sounds like.
No.
He's singing in Belle and Sebastian. But I think musically it sounds like wouldn't be out of place on a Belle and Sebastian track.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. Also, this is their first country-ish sounding song for a little while. I'm trying to think.
Definitely.
Certainly it's a long time since they've done something that's sort of like jaunty country. They've done kind of angsty country. Well, maybe that's just country feedback, which I think we discussed at the time doesn't sound all that country-ish.
No.
Lies, Lynn. Yeah, but this to me definitely sounds like country-ish, a bit folky-ish, but mostly towards the country-ish side of things.
That's fair.
That piano is very chipper.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think which. It sounds almost like they're parodying an earlier song of theirs, but I could not bring to mind which one it was.
Yeah.
Like, I guess the piano sort of slightly reminds me of piano in Night Swimming if it was like jauntified. and made...
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I can see that.
Because that sounds quite pretty, but pretty in a melancholy way on Night Swimming, whereas this is like, I don't know if it is the major, in the major key, because I am not that good at music. just, I don't have that good of a musical.
It does sound less melancholic.
Yes.
Certainly.
Yeah, but in terms of, like, I guess the note patterns, again, I am bad at music. Wait, not to get any level of technical. It is reminiscent, I'm going to... Yeah, I would say this song sounds, as well as jaunty, kind of like vaguely sort of comforting and almost a bit sort of not soporific in a boring way, but more of a sort of like sort of slightly lullaby-ish way. Like it's kind of rocking you to sleep almost. Which is weird because it's also kind of jaunty and upbeat, which doesn't really go with that.
It's sort of jaunty, but it's not really energizing.
No, it's not like fist pumping the air and going, rock!
No, definitely not.
It's more just like, this is a pleasant Plinky Plonk song.
Yeah, it is pleasant.
Yeah. It's not one that I think does well on just like repeat, because it gets a little bit annoying after a while, I discovered in my preparation.
No, I'd agree with that. I think like when you've just let it play through at the end of, you know, listening to a few of these tracks, which is mostly how I've listened to it, I've enjoyed it. But yeah, I can definitely see how if I'd just had this on repeat, it would have been a bit incessant.
Yeah. Oh, I also noticed there was like, well, in the intro, it's very obvious, but then it's kind of into the background. But there's sort of like a block scrapery percussion instrument. It's hard. I'm not going to simulate the sound because it will. But you'll notice it if you go back and listen to it. It's in the intro, and then they shove it way down in the mix for the rest of the song, but it's still there. It's the, yeah, scrapey sound. What else? We should probably talk about the lyrics, shouldn't we? Oh, no, before we do that, there is a solo break for some kind of stringed instrument. I want to say it's a fiddle. Am I right in saying a fiddle and a violin is just the same thing? It's just a case of, like, one is, it's context specific, and you call it a violin if we're talking, like, more classical music?
I would say yes, but I might be... like very ignorant and insulting to be one of two groups of people.
Probably both. Yeah. So write in at the usual place. Ignorant swine.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's probably just
calling
me
a swine
pigs.
Sounds a little rude.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's, you know, and it's also presumptuous of us to say that pigs don't know anything. Maybe they know quite a lot of things.
Well, no one think of the pigs.
Yeah. Someone should think of them. Yeah. It's just they get a raw deal. Like, they're just... If we want to be mean
the
about
pig called
person,
Monty got a raw deal.
Yes. I know.
Sorry, just bringing it vaguely back to R.E.M. for a moment.
That was very good.
Sorry. You were saying something about the lyrics.
Yeah, I was about to. I was just saying we should talk about them. No, the main thing that sort of jumps out is that you'd said on this album in general, there's a bit of a fame theme coming in and out, and this would seem to be nodding towards that because you've got a nod to Mulholland Drive in there, you've got various celebrities from Martin Sheen to Jimmy Dean, Steve McQueen in the middle. I always get the Sheens mixed up. I know, but I'm pretty confident Charlie Sheen is the one who's kind of like the absolute like dumpster fire of like winning guy. It's that's
yes.
him, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
Whereas Martin is the president from the West Wing.
Yes, Martin is the president of the United States.
Yes, great. He's probably still... Is he older than Joe Biden, or is he about the same age?
I don't know. They're all so old.
Yeah.
All American politicians, both fictional and non-fictional.
extremely aged.
Especially all male ones, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I remember from Mike Duncan's podcast series Revolutions, on when they were talking about the Mexican Revolution and how just like the whole political apparatus, the Porfiriato, which is the one like the regime before the revolution, they described the parliament as being like a collection of senile mummies was one of the primary sources, which is just like, that's harsh, but it also seems kind of familiar with
yes, quite.
Yeah, I guess that's less. Well, we have the House of Lords.
So. Yeah, it's more the Lords.
Yeah, I don't want to be mean about the Lords though, because they're the more liberalish bit of our Parliament, which is really
sad,
bad.
It?
The bit that isn't elected is the one that you're just like, well, I'm glad they're there because they put at least some kind of brakes on the, like, the. I'm not even going to say popularly elected nutcases.
Nope. No, if you get less than half the vote, you're not properly elected.
No.
You're just the party that got the most votes.
Yeah, which is a scummy way of running a country.
It is. It is a scummy way of running the country.
Yeah. Right, so it's... Sorry, that's going to be awful to edit. I don't know what happened there. My
it's
face just
fine.
Kind of started to spontaneously combust. It's fine now.
So you started thinking about the government. That was your
That's the cue. Although
so this
song's opening lines are "Your eyes are burning holes through me." So that's probably mm-hmm. what happened is that we made eye contact and then just my face exploded. That's what happened.
That's what happened. I'll take your word for it.
Also, the next lines are "I'm gasoline, I'm burning clean," and I'm like, That's not how gasoline works, is it?
I mean, gasoline does burn pretty cleanly, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it burns cleanly in a sort of chemical, complete combustion way.
Oh, okay.
As in it doesn't... As in it just, like, clean combustion is where it just produces carbon dioxide and water.
Oh, okay. Right.
And, you know, heavily refined gasoline burns pretty cleanly.
Okay.
So, anyway, we were using too much, regardless of what fossil fuels. I think, is he saying that he's highly tuned, like his engine is in peak condition because it's burning cleanly?
Maybe.
He doesn't have an old, run-down, crappy engine that's not being very efficient.
Yeah. I don't know what the metaphor is here, Lynn. I really don't.
No, me neither.
Although, I have to say... Now I'm seeing it on the page. The next line, or the next verse, maybe, has your Pleistocene, which I know is an era from a long time ago, way before humans. But I kept hearing it. I kept hearing it as Plasticine.
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up because that's how I kept hearing
it
too.
Yeah, yeah. Which maybe whoever transcribed this is just giving Michael Stipe too much credit.
I don't know. I think, yeah.
I'm trying
maybe
to...
it is ancient, back when the plants and stuff were crushed and eventually produced oil that we now use in cars.
That does make a lot more sense than Plasticine. Also, the next line is that is obscene. That is obscene. Maybe it is about pollution after all.
Perhaps.
Any other lyrics that are interesting? There's a line about standing on a cliff and looking down and don't be scared, you are alive. It's like, yeah, but the reason I'm scared if I'm on a cliff is because I want to continue to be alive. And
yeah,
you know.
But maybe that just reminds you that you are alive. The fear reminds you that you're alive.
Perhaps.
Maybe.
Perhaps.
Perhaps.
And then we also have the line, 20th century, go to sleep. Because, you know, it's getting towards the end of the 90s. When
it
this
certainly
is,
yeah.
And, yeah, the 20th century, not a great century.
But was it a great film? I don't know. For those people that haven't seen the very weird Canadian...
Right! Yes, I saw that
film
on your recommendation.
And
Yes. If you like a combination of, like, I guess, Blackadder and Monty Python and, like, I guess, like, low-budget 80s sci-fi, but...
I was wondering how you can describe this film.
But Canadian-y. Yeah, seek it out. It is. I think it was too long, but it was the weird, like the weirdest comedy film I have seen for a long, 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 long time.
I don't even know what's meant to be a comedy. I assume it was meant to be a comedy, but who knows?
Did you not find it particularly funny?
I found it funny, but I wasn't sure whether I was meant to find it funny.
I think you were. I think you were.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I think you probably were. But yeah.
Also disturbing. There were some disturbing scenes in that. Like, played for laughs, but still disturbing.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a fair comment. Yes. Played for laughs, but still disturbing.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. What is about Canadians and making disturbing cinematic images? Yes, David Quite. Cronenberg, I'm looking at you.
I want to go and watch a David Cronenberg film now. I haven't for ages.
Yeah, so I've not even seen Living that many of his. I've mostly seen, like, yeah, no, I've seen History of Violence and I've seen Eastern Promises, and that's
I think
it.
You've seen all the ones that I haven't seen.
But yeah, I should see more of the, like, grungy, scrungy 80s stuff. Yeah. I've seen bits of The Fly. That's quite good.
Yeah. Or you could watch him inexplicably being in Star Trek now.
Oh, I hadn't realised that.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a recurring character on Star Trek Discovery.
Oh, nice.
Which was also just also strange.
Tell you what, I would not go on the holodeck if he is also on the holodeck and in some way in charge of the holodeck. It's just like, no, I do not want to be mentally scarred. Thank you, David.
But anyway, sorry, that's probably enough about Lecture. Like, thank you very much for listening. We'll be back next time.
I want to say one more thing about the lyrics.
Oh yeah, carry on.
The closing line is, "I'm out of here," which is a good way to finish an album. And I think
it's a perfect way to finish an
album. A good way to end the podcast. We're out of here.
Bye.
Bye.
Turn on narrator. Toggle switch on.
GDGCpodcast@gmail.com.
Anyway, enough digressions.